Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Romans. It may seem to some of you we've been in Romans a long time, but I assure you, Martin Lloyd-Jones would say, I really have rushed through this far too fast. Romans chapter 16, this is God's word. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who've been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend, Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. 16 verses of say hello to so-and-so. Is that really, I mean, shouldn't we have just stopped at the end of chapter 15 or maybe jumped ahead to verse 17 and following? I mean, do we really need to have all this in there? This is like the kind of stuff that you write on the outside of the envelope. You know? This is a PS, a postscript. This is after I finish writing, then let me mention this. I found your sweater. We'll try and get it to you soon. I mean, it's that kind of thing, it seems. But no. In the providence of God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this too is important, including the first 16 verses. The first thing I want you to see about it is that Paul recognizes, because God recognizes, that people are important. People are important. And if you and I don't understand that, if we don't recognize that and treat people as if they matter, then we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not doing what God does. People matter. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It wasn't for the sake of the icebergs. It wasn't for the sake of saving the penguins. God cares about the birds. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father's notice, but he came to redeem people, not just the planet. People matter to God. Therefore, they need to matter to us. And therefore, Paul, as he's wrapping up this letter, writes from the heart expressions of love to these folks. And in the process, he encourages the church there in Rome to recognize certain individuals who deserve recognition. Because they aren't just taking up space, breathing up air. They're actually doing the work of God in that church. And so he lists all these folks. Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea, receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and give her any help she may need from you because she's been a great help to many people, including me. Paul recognized what others had done for him, and he says, you need to reward those folks. If somebody's doing a good job, they ought to be rewarded for it. Whatever they need. Doesn't say whatever she wants. It says whatever she needs in order to do what God's called her to do, you need to underwrite that. You need to support that. And it's a woman named Phoebe who is a great help within the church. I thought this is a church where, you know, we have male elders, and so far we only have male deacons, and I assumed that this is a safe environment for those of us who want to be sure that women are kept in their place. This is a safe environment for people who want to serve the Lord. Do we believe in this church that there is a difference in the roles of men and women within the church? Yes, we believe that because we believe Scripture. And that's what Scripture teaches. Well, don't you think maybe that was just a cultural thing for back in that day? No, because the argument that's made for that is not made from the surrounding culture. It is made from God's Word. It is made from creation. And many of the things that were stated in Scripture were totally opposed to what was going on in the surrounding culture. So the idea that that too about male headship is somehow, you know, just a cultural thing is completely flying in the face of what the text itself says. So yeah, we believe that men are supposed to be in positions of leadership in the home and in the church. But the word that describes a woman as a helper is the same word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit, who is God. Okay? So it's not a demeaning term or a demeaning role. It is simply a different role so that things work well. When I was a real little kid, I had trouble differentiating between my right shoe and my left shoe. But I could tell after I got them on, they didn't feel right if I hadn't gotten them on the correct foot. You understand? Well, we all know that's because right shoes are better than left shoes. No. But right shoes are better on the right foot, and left shoes are better on the left foot. It's not about which one's better. It's about having them in their right place. But a lot of people think that the idea of men being in leadership in the church means that somehow women are just relegated to doormat position. Woman, go get me something to drink. Don't be absurd. Jesus said, if you try and lord it over others, God will oppose you. Men are supposed to lead the way that Jesus did. He took a towel and he washed his disciples' feet, including the feet of Judas, by the way. That's the way we're supposed to lead. That's the way we're supposed to serve. And so Paul, who was more explicit and consistent than anybody else in saying that men are supposed to be in leadership, turns right around and in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit speaks with laudatory terms about the various women who have made such a difference in his life and within the church and should be honored for what they have done and are doing. These are not positions that are opposed to each other. You could kind of compare them to the right shoe and the left shoe again. In other words, both are absolutely vital. The roles need to be clear as defined in Scripture. And the women and the men should love and serve one another as unto the Lord.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, Phoebe is cited that way. Priscilla and Aquila, citing the woman before the man, the way that they were typically referred to in Acts, which was not a signal that somehow Aquila is a nobody. It was simply recognizing that Priscilla was consistently the outspoken, gifted person that she was. It's okay if people refer to Susan and Jim Wood. I'm okay with that. Okay? Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. They were a team, and that was honoring to Christ. It was His plan. Greet also the church that meets at their house. That was typical of the church back in primitive times. Let me tell you, it is still typical today in many parts of the world. And you and I had better be ready for the fact that it may come a time here in this country where it's going to need to be typical again. Greet the church that meets at their house. And then he continues to list men and women, some of whom are physically his relatives, some of whom are simply related to him in the Lord, but all these different folks are people that were dear to Paul's heart and should be dear to the church. And having given those greetings, he says something in verse 16 that I wish he hadn't said. Because this is countercultural for me. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. I explained to the students, because we were coming to the end of 1 Peter, where Peter says the same thing, basically. And so I explained to the students on Friday, this is something where I want to say, well, that was just, you know, for that culture, you know, that was. But it's also done in Southern Europe and in Northern Europe and in Eastern Europe. And so why don't we do that? Well, because we don't want it to be misconstrued. Well, that's why it's to be a holy kiss. Okay? The fact of the matter is we're supposed to be an affectionate people. We should be a people who love one another and show it. And so I used to, in preaching this, say greet one another in a culturally appropriate manner. I think that's a wonderful paraphrase. But the problem is if you start doing that with this verse, you can fudge on all kinds of other verses. So don't all run up to me afterwards and give me a kiss. But let's work on this business of being obedient to the scriptures and greeting each other with physical affection. Can we do that? But we're supposed to be a place where love is characteristic, not exceptional. We should be a physically affectionate people because that's what God ordained. And then he begins with some other matters in verse 17. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. He's saying to the church in Rome that there are people who come into the church who want to try and pull people away from the truth. And they do it for their own selfish reasons. That's what he says. He says they are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Keep away from them. Well, what kind of stuff is he talking about? Well, for one, legalism. People who want to impose a bunch of man-made rules on others. So, I mean, like the kissing thing. Are we making that a rule? No, I'm just... Please! God wants you to walk in the Spirit. I'm not saying every time you see anybody, you've got to give them a hug and a kiss. That would be legalism. I am saying the fact that we are told repeatedly in the New Testament that we're supposed to greet one another with a holy kiss is a warning signal to us that our culture is out of step with the way God's Spirit says we're supposed to live. So let's seek to walk in the Spirit. I was trying to obey this diligently some years ago about the kissing thing, and a friend of mine who's a Jewish believer from Long Island, he was much more of a huggy-kissy kind of guy anyway, but with me, he could tell I was not, and so we ended up trying to say goodnight one evening as he and his wife were about to leave our home, and you know, we went to hug, and I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do, and I kissed him on the neck, as it turned out. You know, I wasn't aiming for the neck, but he's taller than I am. He's a tennis pro, and I mean, the whole thing was so awkward. I just thought, that is not what the Bible is talking about, okay? But here's the thing. There are some people who will come into the church and try and make it all about rules and regulations. It's not. It's not. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and we're supposed to love one another as we love ourselves. And we want to turn it into 29 regulations. It's not the way it is. So watch out for people who put obstacles in your way and cause divisions, who are always criticizing. They always have something negative to say about somebody. Don't do that. Verse 19, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Now, folks, if that is not a message for our time, we need to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. I would say that the word innocent does not describe many people in our day. Innocent. So I don't even know about those things. Well, I think you should. Christians need to be wise. We need to know what's going on. Well, we need to know about some stuff. We don't need to know about everything. There are some things the Bible says it's a shame to talk about. So we should never be afraid of the truth, but we should recognize that some things just don't need to be sorted through. Okay? I've been living in my house now for over 23 years, and I'm very grateful to be there, but there have been two occasions when the large septic tanks in front of the house had to be pumped. I did not ask for an inventory. You understand? I just wanted out of here. Folks, there's a whole bunch of stuff out in this world that we just don't need to inventory. We don't need to go through all that and understand every detail about it. I want to know what they do and how they do it. I don't. We just don't need to go there. Innocent about what is evil. Not just innocent of evil, but innocent. Do you remember what the word innocent means? Can we even recall the precious time in childhood when we didn't know a whole lot of stuff that it would be nice not to know? Innocent about what is evil. Wise about what is good. And then what a wonderful, glorious promise. Verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Remember, the serpent was going to bruise Jesus' heel, and Satan was going to have his head crushed by the Messiah. Well, Jesus' victory over the serpent is now ours. And one day that's going to be manifest. Satan is going to be thrown into the lake of fire, and there will be no coming back. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. I mean, we could just camp there. I thought about doing that. I thought about making the whole thing just about those lines. But no. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings, as do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater. What's he doing now? Well, he was recognizing the folks in Rome. Now he's recognizing the folks who are with him. Again, why? Because people are important. And one of the people who gets to write his own note is the guy who's been writing all this down as Paul dictated it. And I love the fact that that's there. I, Tertius, verse 22, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Does that give you a picture of how it's happening? Paul, who had problems with his vision, and whenever he wrote anything, had to use really big letters because it was hard for him to write legibly small. Paul is standing there and he's dictating. You see that coming across, for instance, in the opening part of his letter to the Corinthians, which immediately follows this. And he says, you know, I didn't baptize anybody besides so-and-so. And you can tell right at that point, his imagination looks up and says, what about so-and-so? And he goes, oh yes, okay, I did baptize so-and-so. And also so-and-so. And beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anybody else, but here's the point. Okay? And all that gets written down, the whole thing. He didn't go back and mark out any of it. Paul was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The whole thing is there. And we need to be reminded by that, that if you want to understand any phrase or verse or word, knowing that it is God-breathed, you got to understand it in the context of the whole. Okay? You will not rightly interpret the Scriptures if you just pull out a verse or a phrase or a word here and there and don't look at it in the context of the whole. So, these various folks who are with Paul are able to send their greetings as part of the letter as well. And then he says in verse 25 and following, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past." Think about that. The mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. Hear that. That's the plan. It's so that all nations, that's how we got included. Our ancestors were completely ignorant of these things. And people put their lives on the line to bring the message to us. And then we, through our ancestors, went to other parts of the world. We are now living in the far extremes, all the way around the globe, from where this message started. So that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the benediction. That is the blessing. It's not may God do this for you and that for you. It's now may God, who is able to make you strong, may he receive glory and praise in Jesus Christ through his church. That's what we're living for. That's why we're here. It's to bring him honor and glory and joy.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.